Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
You are listening to station WGN.
Whoa, a microphone!
And a phony at the mic! Whoa!
And radio became an accepted vehicle for nationwide news and opinion.
Notify all radio and TV stations to broadcast the following message.
Oh, is that the comedy spot?
No, Bubblehead, this isn't a comedy spot.
You're a fun guy, Dave. You're lonely on an island.
What a dope. What a maroon.
Quiet, please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
This is exciting, isn't it?
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Well, hey, everybody, it's Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. You can call, you can text anytime you'd like all night long. Roger Badish, good morning to you.
And good morning to you, young man. How are you?
I am great, Curtis. Good morning to you.
Good morning, everybody.
And I can say young man to you. It's just a generational thing.
There you go. Just pass it on.
Just passing it on. How's everybody on this Saturday?
Doing good.
You know, are we getting some rain in a little while?
Yeah, it's we're going to get it on and off today.
I've never done this before, but like a big dork, I was standing outside. My son turned six. I have to say happy birthday to Alex. He turned six on Friday. We're having a little party for him today, which means Dad's going to get no sleep whatsoever again. we have a sectional in the backyard and some furniture with some cushions on it. I actually went outside with plastic and covered everything. Well, you know what? It's in the afternoon. And I think it's supposed to stop by like noontime.
Well, I don't have a stop time for it yet. But again,
I need a stop time.
It's 50%.
Get Tom Skilling or Cheryl Scott on the phone right now.
Is he making a deal?
Yeah, I'd like to make a deal.
Tom's making a deal with the weather.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be scattered. It could be when I got home yesterday morning from my Friday night shift, it was not raining up in the northern part of the city. But it was raining when I left downtown. So by the time I got up north, it had stopped raining. It was still wet. It had rained earlier, you know.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of thing. I mean, when we say 50% chance for showers, that doesn't mean that at, 1 o'clock, oh, I'm sorry, you got a party, at 11 o'clock this morning, the skies are going to open up all over the entire area and rain for like 5 minutes. No.
Okay.
It's just whenever it,
whatever it feels like it. There you go.
You know.
Hey, I have to mention this, and I don't mention this. Maybe Aubrey's listening over there, but I'm looking at the stream. You are delayed. So usually I'd talk to you live in the little camera thing here.
Right.
And you're like delayed by a few minutes. And then our view of Navy Pier is, it looks like it's very kind of bitmapped, like cars are moving like in a very odd
Well, see,
way.
My screen.
Yeah.
The cars are moving a little jittery, but I look clear. You look clear, even though you're way
but then the cameras,
far away.
Yeah, the cameras. There's no close up of the host anymore. I see you.
Well,
as
he
clear
can
as
adjust
well.
It.
Yeah. But in case you're watching on the stream, I don't know. Are we up and running, Curtis, on WGNRadio.com? If you're
are.
Watching,
yeah, okay, should be, yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. So I have to say, this whole weather thing, like it's been hot outside, and I heard this week
and
we're cooling off, right?
Yeah. It's going to. Well, the humidity is going to drop.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen in the beginning part of the week. Humidity is going to drop. Temperature is still staying seasonable. Mm-hmm. You know, in the 80s. Mm-hmm. It's still July.
Yeah.
You know. But we need the rain. It's been dry, surprisingly dry in July. And so we need this rain, and the farmers need it. And so it's a welcome thing. It's not welcome for people who are planning birthday parties out in the backyard necessarily.
You know what? I was talking to my daughter today. Now, I picked up, and again, I didn't make this all about me, but we picked up my son today from Novi.
Oh, he's back.
He's back.
Okay.
And it was an architectural class my son took. He's going to be a senior this year in high school. And so amazing work. Like, this was supposed to be, and I know they do this in a lot of universities across the country for different types of skill sets, you know, like whether it's architecture or whatever. And you kind of decide pretty quickly whether this is what you want to do with your life.
Right.
You know, there's a broadcasting thing. He did a broadcasting camp last year, and he said, yeah, I want to do this, but I think I want to do it as a hobby, Dad, like you. Because I think, you know, he's talked to a lot of my colleagues here, and he knows that many of them have two different lives.
Sure.
There's a life here, and there's a life outside of there in another business sense. So he did that last year, but... You know, I was talking to his instructor, and I think I mentioned this, that, you know, there was a few hundred kids that applied. And I think there was only 30 that were accepted into the program. And his team won second place, you know, overall for the last 2 weeks in the models and stuff. But, you know, he led the pack for the models that he created of these buildings. So it started off as obviously a structure that he illustrated and so forth. Mm-hmm. And, but he said, yeah, no, I want to do this. This is what I want to do for a living. And then there was another mom I was talking to who I was looking at her daughter's work and said, oh, beautiful work. I mean, it was really meticulous. And she said, yeah, she really enjoyed the camp, but she really realized this is not what she wants to do.
And sometimes it takes that.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that's what's good about this. Before you start wasting money going to, you know, and how many parents out there have sent their kids, or it happened to yourself where you went to school for the first, you know, semesters or an entire year and decided, yeah, I'm not doing this. And now you're going to college for 5-6 years just to get your bachelor's degree.
You know, I don't know how you were in high school. Yeah. I was different. I've known I've wanted to do broadcasting since I was very young.
Yeah.
And, but most high school students, I'd say maybe 90%, have no clue what they want to do for the rest of their life.
No, that's true.
And they don't have all the tools with them to be able to make that decision. What? Can I give my instructions to my students that I did for 20 years teaching high school?
Yeah, sure.
And remember, in those 20 years, I taught a vocational class. It was broadcasting.
Which vocational classes, you can't find those anywhere in high school. I mean,
a lot of them don't have them.
Especially the trades, which is really shameful.
Exactly.
The college is in front of everybody, but yeah, exactly.
So here's what I recommend. Yeah. And I told my own students that, and I had them for 3 years. I had college-level broadcasting course for 3 years. That's what I taught. I told my students this: look, you have no clue what you're going to do for the rest of your life. Things can change. Lives can change. You're going to grow up. You're still in high school. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to go to a junior college for your first 2 years of college. One, it's inexpensive.
Yeah.
You don't have to take out loans. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. You're going to be able to work part-time, which will be good because now you can start saving money. And in 2 years, you will be 2 years older and smarter, and you will be able to decide, okay, what do I want to do the rest of my life, and where do I need to go to get that training and get good training?
Yeah.
And then you transfer to that four-year college. Because think about it. When you went to college, when did you start taking courses in your major?
Oh, I mean, it was two years in, probably.
Not until the end of your sophomore year, you could take an introductory course.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the last 2 years, that's all you took.
Well, now you made me think, like, what, you know, you wanted to do when you entered college, and then what did you end up doing in your life and so forth. But I think always... I was working in high school. I was working in the music industry, more on the retail side, Sam Goody and all that good stuff. And so I wanted to get into business, and I wanted to run a company. That's kind of what my back of my head was, because that's what my father did. My father was an executive at Shure Brothers for quite some time, and it was somewhat. And I thought, this is what I thought about. I thought, okay, he's kind of in the entertainment business, because I would see newsletters come home with my dad, you know, handing over their new microphones to Donnie and Marie.
Right.
Or to Sonny and Cher.
Sure.
And do stuff like that. But then I also saw very quickly the charitable side of my dad. And he was involved, and I've talked about this before, in politics in our community for 50 years. Always gave back. He was president of the school board, president of, you know, parish councils and all this other stuff. And, I mean, he really set up a great example for me to find that balance between work and charity and still be there 1,000% for your family, how you do all that. So I kind of had that set out to do that. But in the back of my mind, I kind of always loved the world of broadcasting, but it was never my major.
Mm-hmm.
And really what I do for a living now wasn't really my, you know, my major was pretty much business. And
but you're doing that now.
Yeah. I mean, my business partner and I have a company called Retail First, and we build store fixtures and graphics and signing. Very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But no, for companies like Walgreens and Ace Hardware and True Value and Jim Beam. And I mean, we do a lot of display work. We build a lot of fixtures in China. That's really what I do for a living, during the week. But it wasn't until I was 35 that I even dipped into any element of broadcasting. And that was when I joined the Broadcast Museum Board and started being the spokesperson. And you know, it's been 15 years this year that I've been on the station in some capacity.
Sure.
And then halfway through that, in my last 15 years, you know, I was told, hey, why don't you try to fill in? And we think you can do this. And in fact, I brought Tom Langmeyer, who used to run the station here. Curtis met him the other day. He came down. He's running WTMJ and the entire Scripps radio network pretty much right now up in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have a Saturday Night Live exhibit here in Chicago at the Broadcast Museum. And so I wanted to bring him down and see the exhibit because we wanted to do some outreach because we only have 6 months left of this exhibit here in Chicago.
Yeah.
And we want, you know, to get some folks from Milwaukee in here and from Detroit in here. So we're looking at other radio stations around the area. And he came and did that. And I said, hey, you want to come see the new station? And we brought him by. Actually, Patty had him on the air. He just walked in and she turned on his mic.
Oh my gosh.
Which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But he's the one that said, hey, you want to try this? But it was really, you know, it was Todd and Jimmy DeCastro who, you know, really threw it out there and started scheduling me all over the place. And I was on when the Cubs weren't on Saturday and Sunday afternoons and then overnights and blah, 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 blah. So, but it took a long time for me to actually get into, you know, kind of what is, in the back of my head, I guess, my passion. I mean, I love doing what I do for my weekday job, but then trying to squeeze that in is another thing. So that's what my son. Yeah, go ahead.
This goes exactly like you were just about to say. This goes to what your son says. This may not be what he wants to do for a living.
Yeah, he loves it.
You know what
loves
I'm saying?
It. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he does love doing this, but he's seeing his calling somewhere else.
Oh, yeah.
You may be qualified and have the ability to do many different things.
Yeah.
But what you feel strongly about and what you can also make money at, because, I mean, that's part of growing up and living, is you've got to have an income.
Yeah.
So what is the one thing that you want to be able to do that you can get paid a decent salary so you can live a good life that you do not regret going to every day in order to do that?
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, absolutely.
And you have found that, but then once you got settled in that, you were able to go back and go, what if?
But this is the opportunity that we were able to give him. This last summer, he did a broadcasting camp for 2 weeks out of Washington, D.C., and he did this camp. And he knows he wants a blend of that. In fact, a friend of mine in broadcasting who's involved in the, you know, the Chicago Midwest Emmys and that whole Natus organization,
sure,
you know, said, oh, are you, you know, like he was a little like, yeah, well, I thought he was going to kind of do that. Are you going to try to redirect him? No.
No.
No,
he's got to find his own calling.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, my father, he sold life insurance for Metropolitan Life the majority of his life and was real good at it.
Yeah.
Real good at it.
Yeah.
I'm okay at sales. I don't enjoy doing it. I've taken aptitude tests, and that was the number one thing I was qualified for, is sales. And I really didn't enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
You know, I like the personal contact part of it.
Sure.
But the actual making the sale, I didn't like it, and it was not my calling.
That's your thing.
And my dad told me, long time ago, don't ever get into sales. That's unfortunately, I did.
Yeah.
I did go to work with him at Metropolitan for about a couple of years, and I did sell life insurance. I sold radio time, advertising. I sold in retail, in a couple of stores, but I waited until the opportunity was right and got into, in fact, my first job in radio was sales, and I worked my way into the broadcast side.
But I always think of the friends of mine that, you know, are not happy in what they're doing
exactly.
for a living. But mm-hmm. you know what? You can change that. I mean,
of course you can.
You know, I mean, it might take some time. Mm-hmm. You might have to start from the bottom up doing certain things, but I think you got to be really happy.
Yeah. Well, you've got to.
In what you're doing.
Because your life will not be complete. You know, my dad always wanted to get his college degree. He had to go to the, you know, he had to go to work early in life and make money to help the family.
Sure.
You know, during the Depression and everything.
Yeah.
And he got drafted early and he just kept working. He always wanted to get his college degree. That was the one thing he really wanted to do. He was 76 years old when he did that.
Wow, is that right?
Yep. Oakton Community College. And he did it.
Oh,
they,
that's cool.
They gave him, like there's this thing where you get credit for life experiences.
Yeah.
And then you take the courses that they still require.
Good for him.
And he was the oldest graduate of his class at 76 years of age. And other than his kids and his beautiful wife and his career, that was the proudest moment of his life.
That's cool.
And so when you say it's never too late, it's never too late.
Yeah, I agree. Curtis, did you always want to do this?
You know what? I followed the plan that Roger just suggested a few minutes ago. At a high school, I had no idea what I wanted to do.
Hmm.
So I went to community college. I went to McHenry County College. Took 2 years of just gen ed courses, and my first semester there, I took a class called Introduction to Broadcasting, and it was about all spectrums of broadcasting, so radio, television, you know, all that sort of
That's
stuff.
Cool.
And took that class, and during that class, my professor said, you know, we have an opportunity for an internship at a radio station, and at that point, I was done playing baseball. I had nothing to do in my free time, so I figured, you know what, might as well just do it, see what it kind of leads to, and started interning for a few years, and I still do volunteer work there now. And then after a few years of that, finally realized this is what I want to do, more radio stuff specifically.
Yeah.
And from there, got all my gen eds done there, which was the smartest thing to do. If you're a high school student and you're trying to think of stuff to do, get your gen eds done. Because it's cheaper at community college, and if you're going
sure.
to in-state school, all your credits will transfer to your university that you eventually go to.
You know what also helped? I mean, being president of the Dave Player Show Fan Club was probably a big influence for you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
I had no idea he was.
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
Yeah, really nice.
Looks good in the resume, too.
Make sure you give him a pin.
I put that
give
Roger top,
a pin
Roger.
Before
yeah,
you
Yeah, right.
It.
Thank
exactly.
you. I'll join. Here's the other thing, and Curtis, I don't know if you had thought of this. I don't know if you needed to think of it. But here's another thing. What is there's less emphasis on it now by colleges, but what is the one thing from high school that colleges kind of look at first to see whether or not they would like you to go to their school?
Ooh, that's a good question. To be honest, I don't know. I remember just in high school that mm-hmm. they really, really pushed you have to do well on your ACT.
Boom.
SAT
now,
stuff.
He just answered the question.
Yeah.
So here's another thing. If you're like me, and, you know,
not a good test taker.
Not a good test taker.
That's me as well.
Last one in, first one out.
Yeah.
Okay? Not a good test taker, though I'm sure I could score well if I, you know, could hook up a computer into my brain. But here's the other thing about going to a junior college for 2 years. In 2 years, the college you then apply to doesn't care about your ACT from 3 years earlier because you take it in your junior year. Don't mm-hmm. forget. They don't care about that. They care about your grades at your junior college.
Yep, exactly.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. interesting. Well, I'll tell you, you know, Josh, we got him an ACT tutor because that's, you know, because he's not a good test taker.
I had an ACT tutor.
Yeah, and I suck at doing that stuff too. But that doesn't always say, you know, your ACT doesn't always tell you if you have a talent
exactly.
for doing
yeah.
something.
Right. Right.
And I remember even before I went to high school, when I was in middle school, they made us take a test for the high school that would determine, and it was like a personality sort of test thing.
Yeah.
And the results of that test determined what field of profession that you would be really well suited in. And mine was like pharmaceuticals. And I have no interest in pharmaceuticals at all. Like broadcasting wasn't even on the spectrum at all. And it was just all over the place with some of the tests that they're having high school kids take.
But I think that's something that also tells you this is might be based on your background, your grades, what you would be good at if you went after that, but you got to be happy with what you're doing.
Yeah, be happy. Here's the other thing.
Yeah.
I didn't think I wanted to be a teacher.
Yeah.
I had no desire to get into education until, I got to do the math, 27 years ago.
Wow.
I said to myself, you know, and I kind of dabbled in teaching a little bit prior, but just kind of as a job, you know, like, oh you'll pay me to come and conduct a class for 6 weeks. Okay. But it then kind of hit me 27 years ago, you know what? Not only do I like doing this, but I'm kind of pretty good at it.
Yeah.
And I went back to school for 2 years, working during the day and going to school at night to get my certification to be a high school teacher. And then I taught for 20 years.
Well, you got to do what you love.
You got to.
You got to. Speaking of doing what you love, here's two guys coming in today that I'm really excited about that have done what they have loved for probably four decades plus, and really excited about this. There's a Dick Biondi film coming out, and two of our own radio legends here in Chicago, John Records Landecker and Bob Surratt, are in this film. And the film is still in progress, so they're doing like little mini screenings of some of the films so far. And there's going to be one at the Beverly Arts Center in early August that John Records Landecker will be in. And so John and Bob are going to join us here after the break. And we're going to talk a little bit about their careers. And, you know, speaking of high school, as I was mentioning to to Lisa and Carl, is that, you know, that's it. When I was 12 years old, you know, I listened to Wally with my dad when he would drive me to school, but then, you know, I knew it was a little taboo to listen to LS and listen to John and his Boogie Check because it was a little over my head, but I remember kind of closing my door and turning on the radio real low and or throwing on some headphones and listening to the craziness that ensued and Larry Lujack and all that good stuff. So really thrilled to have John. And Bob has been on GN since 2015. And I grew up with Bob Surratt. He is so Mr. Chicago to me and Chicago Tonight and all the other things that he's done. So John and Bob are going to join us here after the break. A little bit later, I had on the Cochrane Show when I filled in Bob Schwartz, who's the VP of Vienna Beef. He's been a VP there for almost, gosh, it's got to be almost 45, 50 years. And they're turning 125. So we're going to talk a little history with him and share that with you. And then we're going to talk about some of Chicago's oldest hot dog stands, and we'll open up the phone lines as well. And then it's the 40th anniversary of Animal House. So a big 70s throwback tonight. So we're going to talk to Tim Otter Matheson. The days of, you know, how long do you think it took to shoot that movie? Think about Animal House. I know you both have seen it a million times.
Yeah.
Curtis, you might know the answer to this already, but Roger, what do you think?
Well, I think they probably shot it in about 2 weeks. Even though movies take a lot longer than that to shoot, but I'll bet you that this thing was thrown together kind of at the last minute, and they all said, okay, let's party, and it's one big two-week-long party, and I bet that's how long it was.
In all seriousness, wasn't it 5 weeks?
It was 5 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is crazy.
Amazing.
But you also have to remember, it was a time that, I think it was the second season, maybe, of Saturday Night Live, or maybe third, I can't remember what it was. So Belushi, you know, they filmed this at, I think, the University of Oregon, and during the fall. So they were there September, October, during the first, you know, semester of of school, but Belushi was living out for Saturday Night Live. He was living in New York, so they would fly him in for only 3 days a week, and they would shoot around Belushi's schedule. 5 weeks it took to pull that movie together.
Amazing.
And it's an absolute classic.
Yeah.
So he's going to share a little behind the scenes on that, a little bit about working with John Belushi. He's been gone almost 35 years, so we're going to do that after four. So we got a jam-packed show.
You do. Let's get to it.
Let's do it.